So today I want to talk about 'Twas the Day After Christmas. So here we sit, the last Sunday of 2019, 4 days after Christmas and 2 days before a new year, not just a new year, but a new decade. So I can imagine if you're anything like me, you're doing a little bit of reflection and kind of take an inventory of what 2019 was like for you. And what were good things, what were bad things, and starting to really think about what it is that you'd like to do and be in 2020. Some of you may be feel like you're caught in the middle, maybe even hung over from the events and busyness of Christmas. Sick, tired, needing rest, right? Thinking we finally get a break and can relax before returning back to our routine or jumping into our new resolutions in 2020. So while it may feel like an in-between time and a time that's a little bit lost, it's truly still a time in the Christian calendar that we celebrate Christmastide, Christmas time, or also the Christmas season. So you may not know that like on Advent, it actually begins on Christmas Eve when Advent ends, and it goes all the way to January 5th. So it's truly the 12 days of Christmas. So back in the old church, really the gifts were brought by the Magi to the king, to baby Jesus, after his birth. And that was when Epiphany started, was after that. So that's when we really celebrated that he is the king and that he's met the Magi, and the story goes on from there. So why don't we celebrate the 12 days of Christmas? And maybe some of you do by leaving your decorations up. But a lot has been lost in our modern society about the 12 days of Christmas and the time after Jesus is born. So one reason it could be is kind of a practical matter. So as work has progressed from farming and hunting to industrialized work, our nonstop information age, the natural downtime from work that happened in the winter months doesn't occur anymore. Devoting 12 days for prayer, reflection, and rededication during the Christmas season was very doable back then. Additionally, Epiphany, as I mentioned, kind of lost out to jolly old Saint Nick. So we're a little bit kind of off base in terms of what we should be doing during this time of year. So I'd like for us to reflect on that and think about what we can do in these next 8 days that we have left of the Christmas season to do what we're asked to do during this time. So to slow down, to reflect, to look at what it is that this Christmas story really tells us about our faith and about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Angels announced his birth to the shepherds who came to visit. Again, as we mentioned in with the children, this is significant in the fact that the first people that came to see baby Jesus were common folk. They weren't anybody special in terms of as their society defined them. I feel like this is a little bit of a foretelling of from God about Jesus' work, because he was the Lord and Savior for all, not for the wealthy, not for the kings, not for the rulers, but for everybody. And it began with that simple event, and that the shepherds were the first people to come and visit baby Jesus. Next, we see the Magi. The Magi come to Bethlehem to visit the baby Jesus, so the wise men, but they went via King Herod. And King Herod, as we'll know, was not a nice king, and he actually ended up ordering all the babies in Bethlehem, in that area, to be killed. So we'll read a little bit about that just to give you some context of what's going on. So here you have Mary and Joseph who have arrived in Bethlehem, and they initially went there to pay their taxes and do the things that they're supposed to do. The baby was born, there was no room in the inn, and baby Jesus was born in the manger. And they're visited by shepherds. As you can imagine, you know, the day after, you know, kind of the birth of the baby, what you're typically doing as a family. And so this family is no different than any family today, other than there were a lot of other things going on. It really wasn't a time of peace. It really wasn't a time of relaxation or kind of a settling in. There was fear. There was a lot of fear about what King Herod was going to do and what was happening during that time. So We're going to go back to Matthew, and I'm going to read a little bit more directly from the Word of God. So now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream again. He asked Jesus to get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until he tells them. If you remember that part that I read earlier. So this was to fulfill, again, what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I've called my son. The interesting thing, though, is, and something we can probably expect, is when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, because the wise men followed the star and they went to see baby Jesus, but then they didn't do what they told King Herod they were going to do. They basically were supposed to follow the star, deliver the gifts, and then head back up and let Herod know where baby Jesus was so he could take him out, right? So the wise men decided that this really wasn't a good idea, and they ended up deceiving Herod. So when he found out, he was infuriated, and this is when he ordered all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. So he was so furious that he said, fine, just kill all the babies that are under this age, because really there's a lot of time that happens. So the Mary and Joseph actually do settle in Bethlehem for some time and do get a little bit of a breather before all this starts to happen. So Herod wasn't really sure if he was, you know, one or two or whatever. I mean, it's estimated, biblical scholars do agree that it was probably within the year, the first year of Jesus' birth. But just to make sure, Herod says two and under are done. So there was a lot of sadness and a lot of despair and a lot of hurt and anger during that time. And if you'll remember, the angel of the Lord came to Jesus and told him to get up and go. Jesus didn't know this was necessarily coming, right? But what did Jesus do? He got up and he took his family and he left. And you think about this during this time, and probably wasn't super convenient for him to all of a sudden get up and just go wherever God tells him to go, or the angel is the messenger telling them where to go. But he actually does. He packs up and he heads out, takes the family. You know, Joseph is pretty amazing, right? Because not only this is now his obedience to God is really being shown. We know he was obedient to God when he first found out about Mary's pregnancy. He continued to follow God and to marry her and become a husband and father to our Lord and Savior. So he's a man of faith for sure. But this just demonstrates even more about how quickly he takes action. There's no reference that he second-guessed the angel. There's no part in the Bible that says that he was remotely concerned about doing what's been asked. So when Herod died, an angel came to Joseph again in his sleep and said, it's time to go again. So it says in the Bible, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. So he got up again. And what's interesting about this is, so that's the second time the angel visited. There's a third dream. They were both in the dream. There was a third dream, but in this dream, the angel didn't necessarily visit, but Joseph got the message. So if you think about it, it seems almost like Joseph's faith is being built, because now he can trust his own inner knowing that he is being guided and directed directly from God, and that this messenger, this angel that was coming to be like super direct, so there was no question about it, really didn't have to come anymore. Joseph was so faithful that he trusted his own instincts. And likely because he was in prayer, in daily prayer, likely because he was devoted, likely because he was looking out for his family, that he had this sort of drive to make sure that he was doing what likely God would ask him to do. So in this third dream, which again was not an angel visiting specifically, but also kind of a call to action. So Joseph felt that it would be dangerous to go because the son of Herod was ruling, and he was afraid to go where he had initially been told to go. So he went to the district of Galilee, and there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that he would have been spoken through the prophets might be so what had been spoken through the prophets would be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. So here we are. We've basically now kind of covered a little bit more ground in the Bible about this, the birth and the story of Jesus. So he was born. We know he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and now he's basically been directed through angels visiting his father, let's just call it three times, right? And now they've ended up in Nazareth, which is where Jesus is known to be from, and is exactly where the prophets and everybody of that time felt had been informed and prophesized that would happen. So these are all super important events and critical that they happened. And so I just got to thinking, it's like, what if Joseph didn't listen? I mean, you know, what if he didn't do what he was asked to do? It would change everything, right? So when I started thinking about that, it led me to think about faith and the faith that Joseph had during that time period. And he demonstrated three important things about faith. One is that that faith acts promptly. And so what does this mean? Again, he didn't decide to sleep on it, right? He didn't go, I don't know, I hear you, angel, but I'm not quite sure about that. I need some time. I'm going to go talk to my buddy, maybe go have a beer at the bar. I'll think about it, and, you know, I'll get back with you. He doesn't do that. The Bible says that he gets up immediately and gathers his child and his wife, and he does exactly what he's instructed to do. So once we understand what God would have us do, it's our job to act in faith. Faith also acts obediently. In response to God's command delivered through the angelic messenger, Joseph obeyed the directions precisely. So obedience and precision. So oftentimes we may say, well, it's not really convenient to go that way, or I'd rather do this, or how about God, we do it this way? Or, you know, if you do this, then I'll be willing to do that, you know, but I don't know if I'm going to just, like, I don't have enough information. I don't think I can do that, right? How often do we do that? Or you're not sure, you question, you doubt. But again, if we understand what God would have us do, then it is our job to be obedient to his word and to take action. That's what we're here to do. That's what we are in choice about. We have a choice, and our choice should be to do God's will in our lives. So to do God's will, we have to be in the Bible. We have to be studying. We have to know what it is that he's asking us to do. That's our responsibility. You know, we can't just sit back and expect an angel to come visit us, you know, and tell us every little thing to do. While in this sense, angels did visit Joseph, it also demonstrates that he got to a place where he could also self-govern, that he knew enough about God. He knew enough about what he had been tasked to do and what he was supposed to, his purpose in life and what he was supposed to do, that he then had those that information more readily available to himself. So that's sort of like our own journey of faith, right? You get to a place where you know what you should do. You know right from wrong. You know. And if you don't, then you go to the Bible. You go to Scripture to see what it is that God would have you do. And the third part is that faith acts with trust. If you look at faith to gather his family and escape to Egypt, I suspect it took even more faith to return to the land that held such danger. When the angel sounded an all clear and instructed Joseph to return to Israel, there must have been some real questions about the wisdom of such action. But without hesitation, Joseph again trusted God to protect them and provide for them, and the family set out to return to their homeland. Have you ever sensed God's leadership into a particular course of action, but you just can't see how it will work? Does it seem too outlandish, too dangerous, too much of a risk? Some of the most exciting things that will ever happen in your life may be the result of God asking you to walk where you can't yet see. When we set out in faith, faith characterized by promptness, obedience, and trust, there are no limits to what God can do in and through us. As we begin a new year with new opportunities and new challenges before us, that's an important truth for us to understand. The catch to acting in faith is understanding what God would have us do. our thinking must shift from fear to love, from the mundane detail to the big picture. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart. Our heart is the home for love. He doesn't say trust with all your head. Thy will be done, not mine. We pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. God will deliver. He will see you through. He will provide the understanding you need if we seek Him above all. Dear Lord, what are you calling us to do? Make us know your will and give us faith to act. Amen.